Okay, we're going to continue from where we left off last week. It's kind of a new topic, but it really is a hemshach of what we discussed. We'll see how much we can do in terms of practical cases, because there's a lot of practical cases that are going to come up, but I want to solidify all the rules of what we're talking about and get their basis in the Rishonim. And if we have to, we'll spend the whole week next week just going through cases to try to see how it can be relevant. But again, as a recap from last week, we introduced the topic of recooking an item which is already cooked. And where we discussed it last week was while it's still cooking. In other words, if you have a piece of meat which is halfway cooked, and you want to know if you can do something that would either increase the speed of the cooking from halfway till the end, or if it came off the fire, can you put it back on the fire, assuming that it's still hot. Again, we're discussing right now the malacha of bishul, and that means we're discussing with the malacha d'oraisa of bishul. That means that we're discussing whether or not the action that you're going to do is going to be classified as cooking. In terms of chazara, in terms of shehiya, in terms of hatmana, all those other discussions, those are all dina midrabanan, and we're going to have to discuss how to circumvent all those problems. But now we're dealing with the biblical prohibition of cooking something. We have to define what is called to cook something. That's really going to be the underlying force behind any shayla that you can have in the kitchen. Is number one, is it cooking? Is this a violation of one of the lama tests of its melachas, which is bishul, which is cooking? So that's what we're dealing with over here. In terms of the Yisurim Drabanan, we'll get to all those another time. Now we're discussing a different shiloh. We're not discussing something which is halfway cooked and then you're cooking it from halfway till the end. We're talking about something which is entirely cooked, and we're going to discuss what happens if something is 100% cooked according to everybody. In other words, it's not like one of these subjective cases of a rare piece of meat where A is going to say it's cooked and B is going to say it's not cooked and C is going to say it's all right, I'll eat it under extenuating circumstances. Something which is considered cooked according to everybody. Can I possibly cook that thing again and then violate the Isser or Bishul a second time on the same piece of food? So we're going to see this is going to turn out to be a massive Machlekes Rishonim, and we're going to see how we paskin. It starts off with the Gemara, source number 19. Sorry, we're starting at source number 19 at the beginning of the night, but again, it's a continuation of last week. Amar, or the Gemara talks about, again, this is talking about Hatmana. And Rava asks the question, Amar Rava, mepnei ma amru ein taimim davar she'enim osef hevel b'chashecha, why can't I do Hatmana? Why can't I insulate something on Shabbos if the insulation is something which does not add heat? In other words, it's Shabbos. Why can't I take a blanket and wrap it around a pot of soup? Gemara says, gzeir shem yarsiach. It's a gzeir, you might come to boil it up. What does that mean? So Rashi explains, forget about the whole beginning of the Rashi, but the end of Rashi writes, Shem yimtza kadei rasa yishin itz tanana. He comes to his pot, he finds his pot is cold. Kishe yirtza latmina, when he wants to wrap it, he wants to wrap it up to retain the heat, and he picks up the pot, and he touches the outside and says, oh gosh, pot is cold. I'm going to help you to wrap this in a towel, it's too late. The thing is cold. So what does Rashi say? Yartzichen atchila. I'm going to boil it up. So just to understand this Rashi, it's pliya tzuma. I mean, the guy's going to take his pot and put it on the fire. The guy has a cold pot, he's going to put it on the fire. I mean, that's a good question, but the point that I'm taking from this Rashi over here, clearly, we're talking about a pot which was cooked. The guy walked over to a pot. He wants to wrap it to retain the heat. By definition, that means the pot was cooked. And he's going to retain the heat in the pot. He finds out, you know, it's a cold winter night.
By definition, the pot was hot.
It was hot, right?
We don't know if it was cooked.
Right. Well, again, when we talk about cooking something, we're going to see that cooking it means it reached the outside of this place. So hot and cooked is going to be the same thing in this discussion. So he wants to retain the heat in his pot. He walks over with a blanket and he touches it. Says, oh shoot, I missed the boat. It's already cold. What's the chash? Why can't I wrap it? Because once, let's just say it like this: once you're involved in retaining heat in your pot, so you're in that mode. You need this pot to be hot. You get bahul, you get confused, you get flustered. The pot needs to be hot. Last minute, he has guests that are coming. He's got his soup. People want the things cold. What's he going to do? Put it on the fire. Exactly, I don't understand that. Let's leave that on the side. But what's the point? The point is, Rashi's saying he's going to cook it again. Now, what's wrong with cooking again? It was already cooked. So clearly, Rashi's of the opinion that there's a problem of bishul achar bishul.
I don't know if you mentioned this before, but is there an exact definition of like a number for yatzla?
Yeah, so it's I mentioned a few weeks ago that it's machlekes between several different achrayim. Reb Moshe saying that it's 110 degrees Fahrenheit, and Shlomo Zalman saying 43 degrees is in Eretz Yisrael, which is somewhere around 100. You could do the math if
Celsius,
you want.
Celsius,
you know? So yeah, he says Celsius. So yes, it's about 100. I think 112, 113. And then you have, Reb Tzion Abba Shaul, he has the Shaila HaTshuvos, Ar Letzion, he is a Sfaradi posuk, he says 45 degrees.
45
Celsius. So,
they're all within.
It's somewhere within 110 to 120 degrees. I don't know offhand what it is.
What exactly?
So he's at 113, so Reb Moshe was 110.
Right.
The Sephardi rabbi was 113, and then...
The Sephardi rabbi was 45 degrees.
Right, so that's 113.
In other words, it's very interesting how they get their numbers.
Right,
but
now,
just very quickly, to go through it very quickly, what they did. There's a Gemara in Chulin which discusses that the base hashchita, the Gemara has a shayla, if you shecht an animal with a knife, that's treif. What happens to the animal? Is the animal treif? The Gemara discusses whether or not the base hashchita, the place on the neck where the shechta, is that considered hot or cold? And the Gemara ultimately comes out.
What would that make it?
That right? It's why? Because if it's hot, then you could say tatal gavar. It was hot, and it can get a blia from the knife. The Gemara ultimately says that ad the maflit yefshar. I've got the exact term, but basically, since it's being piloted, it's spitting out blood, it can't be balea. That's what the Gemara says, ultimately. But the Gemara there discusses the heat of the neck. And the Gemara calls that reseach. So that's reseach, so they measure the temperature. That's what they did. They literally measured the temperature of the neck of the animal at the time that they shechted it. They said, hey, you know, we know that that's not hot. You're not going to get burnt from it. But if the Gemara is calling that reseach, the Gemara is calling the neck of the animal to be boiling hot, so then... Okay, so if that's reseach, let's measure that. And we'll know for sure, that's really why Reb Tzion Abba Shaul was machmer, because his argument was, we know for sure that that's considered hot, but that doesn't give us the definitive temperature. But ultimately, that's the case where they went from. Shlomo Zalman did an experiment, Moshe did an experiment.
And everybody seemed to agree that...
So that's the temperature of the neck
right.
When the animal is shechted.
Right, apparently. Again, I'm not reading the tshuvas now inside, but that's
but
basically what they did.
Everyone seems to agree that roseach and yatzo lettuce bowl are one and the same.
At least, yeah, right, basically. Okay, so let's just settle that. Okay, so at this point, we're going to say hi. At this point, what we're going to say is that on a liquid for sure, it's considered cooked once it reaches. Let's give a middle number, 43 degrees. Celsius. Okay? You can do the math to figure out how that works in Fahrenheit, somewhere around 115. Okay, 113? That works out. So that's what we're going to discuss. Now, clearly, again, Rashi over here is saying that the reason why a person cannot wrap a pot on Shabbos to retain its heat is because should he come to the pot and notice that the pot is cold, we're worried that he'll be flustered and he'll heat up the pot. Now, what's the problem with heating up the pot? Why can't he heat up the pot? It was already cooked. Clearly, Rashi says very clearly, v'nitzim v'ashav Shabbos. He's going to cook on Shabbos. In other words, if he heats up his pot, he has violated an Isser Midaraisa, one of the Lamatas of his Malachas of Bishol, he has cooked on Shabbos. Clearly, Rashi's of the opinion that a person can violate the Isser of Bishol on Shabbos by heating up a pot that was already cooked. Okay, Rashi says it again, source number 21, which is another discussion. Again, without getting into it, we're talking about a pot of dye, and the Gemara asks the question, maybe he'll mix it. And again, it's talking about, I don't want to get too sidetracked, but it's talking about things that you can do from before Shabbos. And if you can do it before Shabbos, if it reaches a certain point of development, you let it keep it there all Shabbos. So bread, the Gemara talks about that it gets a crust on the outside. Now it's talking about a person soaking a piece of wool in a dye. The Mishnah allows you to keep it in the dye. So the Gemara asks the question, how could you keep the dye inside? How could you keep a piece of wool inside the dye on Shabbos? V'necha shema magus, but maybe he's going to mix it. The Gemara says, ba'akur v'tucha, nah, it's taken off the fire, and it's already, the pot is all covered. Again, we discussed mixing a different week. We're not going to discuss that now. But the Gemara asks the question, maybe you're going to mix it. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, magis, He's going to mix it. It's a cooked item. The dye is cooked. But again, the problem is that you are enhancing the cooking.
And this clearly, is off the fire.
No. That was Gemara's answer. The Gemara's question was, he's going to mix it. He'll violate an Isra Bishel. Says Gemara, no problem with Bishel because it's off the fire. Okay, but ultimately, again, clearly Rashi is talking about a big, huge vat full of dye. It was already cooked because the dye has to be hot when he started the dyeing process. And then he takes it off and leaves it off on Shabbos. But clearly Rashi said the problem of mixing it would have been you're going to mix something and it's going to be cooking. Mixing something is cooking. Again, I don't want to get into all the details of mixing something. We discussed it a different week. But this, clearly, we're talking about something which is already cooked. And Rashi is telling us clearly that you can violate the Isser of Bishel, the prohibition of cooking on Shabbos, a second time on the same exact food item or whatever it is. In this case, it's dye. So clearly, we have an opinion of Rashi that says you can have a cooked item, which is fully cooked, and you can violate the Isser, the prohibition of cooking that a second time. Rashi's opinion. The Rush, he disagrees. We saw this Rush previously, but let's just see it again inside source number 23. I underlined it. V'ika lemitchi, he quotes Rashi. He quotes everything we just said from Rashi. And he says, V'ika lemitchi, we can possibly push away Rashi's understanding. The ad shalonis bashal kamaychal ben drusoy, kol Hamakarav Bishulei Chayev. If something has not reached the point of Meichel ben Drusai, again, Meichel ben Drusai, we explained Drusai was an individual, he was a thief, he was always on the run, he never had time to properly cook his meals because he was nervous if he ever settled in one place for too long, he would get busted, so he was always on the run, his food was always eaten halfway raw. So, he understands that until a food reaches the halfway mark, a person could violate an Isser Bishel by cooking it more. And he continues, even once it reaches this halfway mark, Asher de'im Bishel Achar Bishel, could be there's no Bishel. Mustava, the Achala Gila Michael Ben Josai, call Makar Bishul Chayev, Achar Shigil Machel Ben Josai, here. But Achar Shigil Machel Ben Josai, once the food reaches that halfway mark, im Nitzstanen Vehersichu Chayev, if it cools down, and he boils it up again, he's chayv to pirish Rashi, le'el gabishem yarsiach.
So he's qualifying how cooked it is.
Right, one second. Yeah, in other words, he's saying if it cools down, if it reaches that point of Meichel ben Drusai, then it cools down, then you could violate the Isra again, but not while it's hot. Okay, that's the Rush. Now let's look at source number 24.
And if it doesn't reach that, then it's not even considered
cooked. If it doesn't reach Meichel ben Drusai, it's not considered cooked, and of course anything you're going to do...
But is he saying that Rashi holds that way?
No. Because, he's not necessarily.
Is Rashi holding Kol Tzarko?
No. I don't want to push it into Rashi. Rashi seems to be clear that you can cook a second time. The Rush is just saying that it depends where it's up to. If it reached the halfway mark and it's still hot and you bring it farther, you bring it till the end of the cooking, that's not an Isser of cooking. It's already cooked. It's already considered halachically cooked. You
but
can't cook
it
again.
Down.
If it cooled down, then the Rush says you can violate the Isra again because you lost whatever you had.
But seemingly, if it was called tzarcho,
even if it was cooked called tzarcho,
if it was cooked called tzarcho, it depends. No, even if it cooled down, it would be the same thing. It wouldn't make a difference. Seemingly, according to the Rush, because the Rush says halachic bishul is what defines this case. Once it's cooked halachically, so then it's halachically cooked. You can't make it more cooked. It's cooked. Only if it cools down, so it loses its value of being cooked, because now it's cool. If you heat it up again, that'll be the problem.
And cool down is when it goes beyond.
Okay, we'll discuss that. We'll get that. We'll get to there, because this is going to be a big subject of dispute between the Ashkenazim and the Sfardim. So we'll get there soon. Okay? Source number 24, Ben Yerucham. Ben Yerucham throws us a little curveball here. It says, Ki kol davar shenitztanin, anything which was cooked and then it cooled down, Afilu mevushal kol tzarcho, even if it was cooked 100%, the yeshba rotev, and it has a liquid. Umitztamik v'yafalo yeshba bishul mishum bishul. Guess again, we have to reintroduce this the difference between a lach and a yavesh, a dry item and a liquid item. It's clear that there is a difference between something being dry and something being a liquid. And we're going to assume at this point when we're talking about bishul achar bishul, we're talking about a liquid item. In terms of a dry item, we're going to get to that as well. But we already introduced last week that the cases they were talking about were cases of where there was a liquid, whereas if it was dry, then it wouldn't be. Not, there's not necessarily an issue. Okay, the simple difference is
when you say liquid would just mean there's any sort of sauce.
Okay, so again, that's why I want to spend a lot of time, hopefully at the end, giving clear definitions of what's considered a liquid, what's considered a solid, and what's considered something which, what happens if you have something which is liquid but has some solid in it, what happens if you have something which is a solid but has some liquid. These are very intricate cases. We have to get the klalim, all the rules down first, then we could kind of take each case. And I'll just take it clear. What's kugel? Potato kugel?
Dry.
What happens if you take a potato kugel out of the freezer? And you leave it on the counter, and now around the whole outside, it's wet because of the... Is it just defrosted?
Right.
So what happens there? That poses a very interesting shiloh. What happens if you have something which is dry on the outside, but inside there's like a little pocket, something which is wet? So we're going to get to all those. But I don't want to jump to it, because I want to first get all the rules down pat, and hopefully we'll be able to go through all the cases. What happens if you have something which is dry now, but after you're going to heat it up, it's going to change? If you have fat and meat,
it congeals.
What happens if I have an ice cube? An ice cube is seemingly dry. You put it on top of heat, it turns into liquid. All those cases, we're going to have to go through all those. But I want to first strategically get the rules down pat. And once we have the rules down pat, we'll be able to hopefully answer all these questions. Okay? Now, what Rabbeinu Yerucham did to us over here was, he threw in the words, Mitztamek V'yafel. I don't know if you noticed that. He wrote, Kikol Darash and Stane, anything which cooled down, Afil Mevushal Kol Tzarch, even if it was cooked 100%. V'yesh Barotev, that's an important point, it has a liquid. Umitztamek V'yafel. And as it cooks, it improves in its quality. Mitzdamek means that it dries out. The longer it cooks, the longer it dries out. The longer it cooks, the better it tastes. Now, he threw that in there. In other words, he threw in a major kula over here. Anything which gets worse as it continues to cook, there's no bishul achar bishul. Only things which get better as they cook, only in such a case would there be bishul achar bishul. So he threw a curveball here. We'll have to see whether it's relevant lahalacha, but he ultimately is of the opinion that cooking always needs to be an improvement in the quality of your food. The fact that you're changing the temperature in something, we discussed this last week as well, changing something's temperature can't be the definition of bishul. Bishul cooking needs to be something significant. It has to accomplish a significant change in the food. The fact that you take something and move it from one temperature to the next can't be bishul. It's not significant enough. So much so, we had to ask, if someone heats up water, why is that cooking? Why is heating up water cooking? What have you done to the water other than change its temperature that now you've cooked? It used to be that it was 70 degrees, it was at room temperature, and now it's 130 degrees. All right, but what is that? What'd you do? You just changed the temperature. So again, without getting into too many details, the way that we understand that, the way the Mishnah Berurah explains it, is because now it's better. You're able to do more. You can have a tea with it. You can do something which you couldn't have done beforehand. The Sefer Iglei Tal spends a lot of time on this. And again, hopefully at the end of today's shiur, we're going to be able to define what is cooking in water that we can discuss what is going to be a second cooking. But we'll get there. Okay, but let's keep that straight. Rashi is of the opinion you can cook a food a second time. Ben Yeruchim says you can only cook something a second time if there's a significant improvement in it when you cook it the second time. The Rashba, he writes clearly, Aval, it's underlined, Tzaynein shenis special, something which is cold now, shenis special, which was cooked. Now, filu b'kli rishon, even if it was cooked in a kli, even if it's in a kli rishon, or keneged hamedura, it was really cooked. Again, sorry, I'm reading it wrong. Something which is cold, which was cooked, you're allowed to put it into a kli rishon, into a pot that just came off the fire, and you can put it next to a medura, next to a bonfire. The reason why he's giving these strange cases is because there are rabbinic prohibitions of taking a pot and putting it right on top of a fire. But ultimately what he's saying here is that something which was cooked, it's cold now. If you reheat it a second time, then it's in terms of cooking, in terms of the definition of cooking something on Shabbos, there's no problem. It was already cooked, can't do it a second time. There's one time to cook something. You can do that only once. This is a major, major kula. This is coming from a Rishon, and he says that you cannot cook something a second time. Once it's been cooked, it has been cooked. Okay? It's important to remember this Rashba, because we paskin like the Rashba. Well, we'll see that we don't always go with this Rashba, because if we did, we'd have a lot of kulas on our hands, but we'll see why it has to be that the halacha like this Rashba.
So we paskin like him until we don't.
Exactly. Look at source number 26. This is Shulchan Aruch. Tashal shen espashal kol tzarche. Food which has been cooked 100%. Yesh boi mishum bishol im nitztanin. Bechaber paskins. If the food has cooled down, you can cook it a second time. The Ramah throws in, v'yesh emrim dafka mitztamek v'yafal. That's only if it improves significantly when you cook it the second time. And who is that? Whose opinion that? We mentioned that. It's Rabbeinu Yeruchim, and it's in parentheses in Shulchan Aruch that it is Rabbeinu Yeruchim's opinion. If it was not cooked 100%, even if it was cooked most of the way, or as I should say, either a third or a half, so that was last week's discussion. That means something which is in the middle of cooking. Can two people violate bishul on the same piece of meat? We discussed that last week. That's what he was addressing over here. When is there an isser of cooking something a second time? That's betashal sheish b'marak, a food item which has liquid in it. A dry item which has been cooked in the past, a piece of cake, kugel, chicken, meat. You can soak it in hot water on Shabbos. Again, the reason why he says mutl l'shros b'cham on Shabbos is because putting it on top of a fire has other rabbinical prohibitions. But ultimately, what the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch is paskening is that if you have a liquid item that was previously cooked, if it is now cool, you can violate bishul a second time. He doesn't mention anything about Ben Yeruchim. He seems not to hold of his opinion. But the Ramah puts it in. Now, what does imnitz tanin mean? This is very important. The Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch said, "Tashal she nispashal kol tzarcha, a food which is cooked 100%, yesh bo bishul mitztanin. You can violate the isra bishul a second time if it cooled down. What does that mean, imnitz tanin? What temperature is nitztanin? Says the Mishnah Brura, it's in source number 27, "Haynu she'ein hayat zoledes bo afshu k'tzas chamadayin." That means, according to the Mechaber, that means if it's halachically considered cool, that means if it's 100 degrees, it's not cold, it's 100 degrees. According to the Mechaber, if something is 100 degrees, it dips under Yad Saledespo, even if it's 109 degrees. Once it dips under that halachic mark of being considered cooked, then if you were to reheat it, then that's a biblical prohibition of bishul a second time. Okay? And he writes clearly, "Avol im ayatz ledespo." If it's still hot, afshin instanim mersichasa. Even if it is no longer boiling, lo shayach by bishul od bechal roseachum. Okay, right. Now it's important to understand, and we'll see this in a minute. The Mishnah Berurah ends off. Avol harama, the Rama whose psak is followed by the Ashkenazim, lekama mesiv tesvav behagah kos of the kolzman shlo instanim legamri nagu lahakol deembo mishnah bishul. According to the Ashkenazim, this is where we have a very big difference between Ashkenazim and Sfardim, where Sfardim, once you have a liquid that dips under Yad Sol Adispo, which is, let's just call it 110 degrees for today's discussion, once it hits 109 degrees, according to the Mechaber, according to the Psak that the Sfardim go with, you cannot reheat that item anymore. According to the Ramah, according to the Psak with that which the Ashkenazim follow, as long as it has not cooled down entirely, in such a case, you're allowed to reheat it.
It's entirely subjective.
We'll see. We'll see in a minute. The interesting thing is, if we look in Shulchan Aruch and Sif Ches, so the what we just looked at before is Sif Dalet. In Simin Shinir Ches, we looked at Sif Dalet. If you go four more Seifim into Sif Ches, the Mechaber throws us He pulls a fast one because he writes like this. Laniach davar kal. Sorry. Laniach davar kar. Shen is special called tzarcha agabe mechem asha'ala eish. So let's leave out those details because it makes it complicated. But he throws in at the end, just in terms, he's talking about putting something on top of a pot. At the end, he writes, Mekol makom, im hu tav shel sheyesh bo rotev, if it's a food that has a liquid, umitstamik viafalo, and it improves with heating it up a second time, asra deriakol. So what's he doing here?
We bring the Rabbeinu Rucham saying that even according to him it's asr.
But why does he have to write Mitzvah V'yafalo? It's an insignificant detail. According to the Mechaber, if something is cool, there's a biblical prohibition to reheat it again. So he's talking about a case of putting a food on top of a pot. All right? Let's just accept that. He wants to talk about the halachas of putting food on top of a pot that's cooking. That's the topic of the sif. At the end, he just writes, by the way, even if you're allowed to put it on top of a pot that's cooking it, which is on top of the fire, just realize if the food item that you're dealing with is something which has liquid and it significantly improves with heating it up, then it's a problem because that's cooking. Why does he have to write? It's an insignificant detail. He already told us earlier that it doesn't make a difference if it's mitzdaug v'yafalo or not. He ignored the opinion of Rabbeinu Yerucham. So in Sif Dalet, he seems to say that even if there's no significant improvement the second time, there's a problem of cooking it. In Sif Ches, he seems to say that it depends whether or not it improves significantly when you heat it up the second time. So here's we have a machlokes between the poskim. What is going on here? The Magen Avraham he wants to be mekel and say, yeah, Mechaber really held like Rabbeinu Yerucham. Mechaber was of the opinion that the only time you have a problem of cooking something a second time is if there's improvement. And he assumed you would learn the whole sif. Now, he assumed you learned the whole siman. You can't just learn one sif in Shulchan Aruch and then start paskening. He assumed you learned sif dalet, you get the basic rule. My opinion is that if you heat something up a second time, there's a problem of cooking it. Now, you want to know all the details? Finish learning the siman. You'll find out in Sif Ches that the only time that's true is if it improves.
Clearly the Ramah didn't feel that way.
Right, exactly. I'm not to argue. He had to throw in the need to point it out. And that's really why the Mishabrura,
unless the Magen Avraham is going to claim that the Ramah was doing nothing more than just explaining the Mechaber Shita, having read the test.
Yeah, so he doesn't say that, right.
The Ramah doesn't seem to be...
Yeah, it's generally not the way it works. When the Ramah throws in the V'yesh Ayrim, usually it's with a wink. So, what the Mishnah Berurah does, he just settles the whole thing. He says, guys, don't get so excited. If you look at what I underlined in source number 30, in other words, he's saying, you have to realize that often what the Mechaber did in Shulchan Aruch was, he found a snippet of information in the Rishayim, and he felt instead of rewriting all that, he just quoted the whole thing. You know, in other words, he found the halach in the Sefer of Rabbeinu Yerucham. And he said, oh, that's an interesting halach, I want to put that in Shulchan Aruch. He took the whole thing, copied and pasted it right into Shulchan Aruch. Now, often, he'll have something in there which is not lehalacha, according to what he holds, but what he did was, he got the main point out. And that's really what he's doing over here. He says, this halacha in Sif Ches, No. This halacha in Sif Ches is sourced from Rabbeinu Yerucham. It comes from Rabbeinu Yerucham. That's where it comes from. Mechaber took the whole thing and he just copied it into Shulchan Aruch. But he didn't mean that line should be lahalacha. That's what Mishnah Berurah writes. Okay, Vav Hamachaber after the Sefer came much as Sasam Sham. He told us his opinion earlier. El Delishna de Rabbeinu Yerucham Nakat VaAzel. He took the whole lashon of Rabbeinu Yerucham. He took it and he put it in Shulchan Aruch and he left.
Isn't that what Beis Yosef is for? Beis Yosef is a parish. Shulchan Aruch is codified.
Correct, basically. Yeah, I mean, but the Shulchan Aruch generally doesn't tell us things which are not as if. You know, the truth is, I shouldn't say that. You'll find often in Shulchan Aruch that he'll do this with the Rambam. That he'll have and this is generally a general rule. If you ever find a contradiction in the Mechaber, when Mechaber writes A in one place and B in another place, and B is the Lashon of the Rambam, then we'll generally say it's no contradiction. Mechaber likes to bring the Lashon of the Rambam. He always does it. Doesn't always mean it's la halacha. The halacha is like the other one. That's generally the rule when it comes to Shulchan Aruch. So that's what Mishnah Berurah is saying over here. He quoted Ben Yeruchim because the whole thing came from Ben Yeruchim, but that's not, he didn't mean that part to be a la halacha. Okay? Now, again, in Siv Tes Vav, okay, in the same siman in Shulchan Aruch, says the Mechaber, Dover Shin Spashal Kol Tzarech Vu Yavesh Ein Boy Marak. You have a dry item which is, has been fully cooked. You can put it next to a fire where it's really hot. Why? Because there's nothing wrong with reheating a dry item. So we have these all the halachas straight in the mechaber. Mechaber is of the opinion if it's liquid, it was 100% cooked, it's now under yatz lettuce by, you can violate the Isra Bishlah a second time by heating that up. If it's a dry item, you can do whatever you want with it. As long as you're not going to violate any of these surah midrabanu, which we'll get to another week, you're allowed to reheat that item as hot as you want. So you have a potato kugel, it's cool, it's out of the fridge, you could put it on top of your shalom pot, allow it to get as hot as it wants, and you could eat it during the day, it's not a problem. However, if you have soup that you want to serve during the day, you put it in the fridge overnight, and you put it on top of your shalom pot, assuming that it will get hot, that could be a problem if it reaches yatz lettuce bo. Okay? Now here comes the Ramah. V'afilu nitztanin kvar. Even if the dry item is cold. Avon mureseach, if it's hot, afilu b'davar sheyesh bo marak mutter. If it's hot, again, nothing wrong with it. If it's hot, you're allowed to put it next to a fire as well, even if it's a liquid. V'yesh mekilin, this is important. V'yesh mekilin lomar. Dekol she'ein nosno agabe ya'esh o akira mamesh. As long as you're not putting it directly on top of a fire, rak samachlo, just close to it. A feeling it's stanein mutter, even if it's cold, it's mutter. Whose opinion is that? The Rashba. We quoted that earlier. Right? He's saying, according, there is an opinion that holds, even if something is a liquid, even if it's cold, as long as you're not putting it directly on top of a fire, it's not a problem. You could put it there. You could heat it up to whatever temperature you want. V'nagu l'hakel bazeh, our minig is to be maker with this. However, he throws in one last thing. Imlon it's stanein legamri. As long as it's not cold. Now we have a problem because he threw something else out over here that we just never heard of this before. Rashi says there's always a problem of reheating a liquid. Rabbi Yeruchim says it's only a problem if it significantly improves. The Rashba says there's never a problem of reheating something which has been cooked. All right, where does the Mechaber stand on all this? He's like Rashi. Mechaber's machmir. Something is a liquid. If it was 100% cooked, if it cooled down, problem, you can't reheat it again. Mechaber takes a very straight road. He confused us at one point by throwing in the words "mistamik v'yafalo," but we settled that. According to the Shabura, he just was quoting Rabbeinu Yochum, he didn't mean to paskin that way. So Mechaber is good. Comes along the Ramah, he throws us the Rashba. He says, by the way, you should just know there are some opinions that even if it's a liquid, even if it's cold, you could put it in a place where it's going to get hot. We hold like that. Manoik to be make like that, as long as it's not totally cold. As long as it's not totally cold. What's going on here? Whose opinion is that? Nobody's. He made this up. So now we have to understand what he was doing. So the Mishnah Berurah, he writes, after Ladasa Machaber, even though, according to the Machaber, to the Beis Yosef, Kivishin it's stanin ma'at michame muso. Once it has dipped below the ain yatzel lettuce po, it's no longer yatzel lettuce po. Shuv yesh po mishum bishul. According to the Mechaber, there's a problem with bishul. Moshe kesavnu levels of talad. Nevertheless, says the Rama, minig lahakel bazeh. We are makel on this case. Desomchim bazeh ayesh mekilin calls mashlo and stanin gamri. We rely. Now, we have to read this carefully. We rely on the Yesh Mekilim. In other words, we rely on the opinion of the Rashba as long as it's not on the garment. So we have to think about this for a second. What does it mean we rely on the opinion of the Rashba when it's not on the garment? In other words, as long as it's not 100% cold, let's call it 100% cold. It's an interesting term because... what does 100% cold mean? Let's just call it 100% cold. We'll try to define that later. Once it's totally cold.
Cooled.
It's cooled.
Cooled.
Right?
Not cold.
It's cooled. Yeah.
You take it out of the refrigerator the next morning.
Then it's a problem.
No. In other words, meaning whatever nitztanin is, it was cooled down.
Right. Doesn't
mean it was frozen or
not frozen, right?
Net, no. Or even taken to refrigerate it. Talking about it was hot.
Let's call it room temperature.
Room temperature.
Okay, let's call it room temperature.
Nitztanin would be room temperature.
Let's call it that. But anyway, we have to understand in terms of psak what's going on here in Shulchan Aruch. We have three opinions in the Rishayim. We found them. We defined them. We identified them. Mechaber, he's lining himself up with Rashi. He's in good hands. He's with Rashi.
Okay.
The Ramah throws us the Rashba. He also threw Rabbi Yerucham at another place. But here he gives us the Rashba. He says we rely on the Rashba as long as it's not cold. And then the Mishnah Brewer just seems to say that the Ramah was willing to allow you to rely on the Rashba as long as it's not cold. But if it's cold, you can't rely on the Rashba anymore. Okay, that's what he's saying.
It almost seems like it's like the Rashba with a little Rabbeinu Yerucham thrown in there. I mean, if something is completely cold, if something's completely cold, warming it up improves it. No matter what.
That's fair, and it's fair, especially
it.
It's not true.
If you cook a piece of meat and let it rest and then reheat it, it ruins the meat.
It dries it out, right. Yeah. You take a good piece of London broil, perfectly grilled, and then you heat it up, it gets a little rubbery.
So you have to let it rest for the juice to settle in.
But here,
once you reheat it a little bit,
right. Let's talk about a liquid, because when it comes to dry items,
right.
There's never a problem of reheating it. Let's talk about a liquid.
Sorry.
So if it's a liquid...
we were talking about something that was...
Right, so here we have to be talking about a liquid.
Okay.
So
Meatballs,
perfect. Like, yeah, meatballs. You have your meatballs, you serve it Friday night, and you put it in the fridge overnight. Says the Ramah, you can't reheat it. It doesn't have to be in the fridge. Just don't want it to be spoiled. Okay, so he puts it in the fridge. Says the Ramah, you can't reheat it the next day. But if you left it out for, I don't know, you served your meal on Friday night, and suddenly, at the end of the meal, an unexpected guest showed up, and you went to the kitchen. You said, "Let me serve the guy some meatballs." You felt it, and it's just not as hot as you want it to be for your guest. It's still hot. It's still warm. It's not Yatzel Lettuce Bo, because if it was Yatzel Lettuce Bo, everyone would agree you could reheat it. But, again, we're talking about in terms of Bishul. In terms of putting something back on the fire, we have to discuss all those halachas differently. In terms of the Bishul aspect, cooking it, you would be able to reheat those meatballs. Okay? According to the Ramah, and again, if it's Yatzel Lettuce Bo, everyone would agree you could reheat the meatballs. If it dips on the Yatzel Lettuce Bo, so then that's where we have this discussion where... Says the Ramah, as long as it's not cold. In other words, he's saying you could rely on the Rashba as long as it's not cold. Once it's cold, we no longer allow you to rely on the Rashba. Now you're back in Rashi's world. Okay? That's the way we have to understand it according to the Mishnah Berurah Zoniyah. The Chazon Ish, he wants us, I'm only quoting him because I want to contrast his approach to the Mishnah Berurah. And he writes, V'al Kain, Al Karchach, in the underlined, in source 33. V'alkein, al-karchach, sh'anu taifsin l'ikr hadin k'das ha-rabim v'harash b'varan. So he quotes a few more Rishonim than we did. She'ein asr l'chameim es ha-tzainin ha-mevoshel. We paskin l'halacha mi'ikr hadin. The real strict letter of the law is, if something is cooked 100%, even if it cools down, there's no problem of reheating it again. Ela b'pnei sh'la yovel l'hakol b'chamin. Happens to be, I've sold a different gears of the Chazon Ish that says b'chayim. Chayim meaning raw. I think it makes more sense with that word. Lo'inagu l'hakol b'tzoynein sh'ein chayim musa nikaris. In other words, the way the Chazon Ish explains it is that the Ramah was concerned. The ikar halacha is that if something's cooked once, if you have a liquid which is cooked once, even if it's cold, you let it reheat it. But he was worried, how can you tell a difference between two different liquids? If you have one which was cooked, then it cooled down, another one which was never cooked, it's very difficult to be able to tell the difference. And the Ramah didn't want to have that confusion, so he wanted you to always have that reminder, something to identify that it was cooked at some point in time. What's going to be that sign that identifies that this was once cooked at one point? It's still hot. That's the way the Rav Chazon Ish is understanding it. In other words, we rely on the Rashba across the board. The Rashba is right. Once something's cooked, you cannot recook it a second time. Why are we saying that if something cools down, you can't reheat it? Because then we run into a problem. How are you going to be able to tell the difference between something which was cooked, something which was not cooked? We have to have an identifying factor over here which says this is the cooked item. What's the what is the universal identifying factor which says that something was cooked at some point in time? That it's hot. Does it have to be hot halachically? No, it has to just be retaining some of its heat. You want to add something?
That doesn't really help, because if it didn't get up to the proper temperature...
It had to have gotten to the right temperature.
Right, but I'm saying, for him to make this qualification,
yeah,
that as long as it's still somewhat hot, then we can tell, you could have something that's not cooked all the way, just warmed up a little bit, not to yad let us go, and then you come by and touch it.
Okay, you're right. You will be able to fool the system at some point in time, but here what he was doing really was just saying... Let's go the extra mile and don't go with the strict letter of the law and heat things up that have been cooled down, because you run the risk of mixing it up. That's really what he was saying. So now we have to, let's just get that clear. Machaber, this for Sfardim, once something is cooked, if it's still hot, you could heat it up again. If something is once it's gone under the Yatzalazpo, if it's a liquid, you can't reheat it. According to the Shulchan, to the Ramah, we pass them like the Rashba. There's no problem of reheating something a second time, even if it's a liquid. Just that if it's cold, don't do it. Now, we discussed earlier the idea of what makes something, what makes water cooked. Like, what's the advantage of being cooked? So Rav Vosner in Source 35, he starts pondering this. He says, "Avol b'mayim, with water, shachiv hu al mashen is chamamu." The whole cooking of water really is that you warmed it up. Therefore, kishen it's dananu over bishulam. When it cooled down, everything about the cooking is gone. In other words, you have something which is cooked; it remains cooked. But he's saying, if the reason why you're chayiv for cooking water in the first place is because you improved it, because now it's warm. The second it's cold, it's no longer warm. Who cares about past history? So therefore, there'd be a problem to recook it. In Cain, if so, achimim hasheni hareu kichimim rishon. Heating it the second time is exactly the same. It's identical to the first time. Lefiza yatzakula benid l'nidan. Shim kvar yatzaledes b'mayim. This is very important. If you have water, which is already yatzaledes bo, so then, is it hot or is it not? The answer is halachically, this is hot. This is considered hot. So if the chiv of cooking water is that you made it hot, so if it's hot, so then, lo yehetim bishal achakach. Let's say you were to take something which is yatsa lettuce bow, it's 110 degrees, and you bring it to a boiling point, 212 degrees. Fine. So it's fine. Because the whole chiv of cooking water is that you made it hot. 110 degrees, we're saying, is considered hot. So what's the difference between whether it's hot and really hot? It's just hot. Okay? And he writes the din, "Imkein yirtz a kula v'chumra." Comes out there's a kula and a chumra. Kula, diyesh lo din, ein bishul achar bishul, in kvar nespashal pam achas, rak lo nitzdan l'gamri. The kula is, once it hits yatsa lettuce bow, you could boil it. V'chumra to achar yatsa lettuce, lefnei abishul, harik kishav tash, diyesh, okay, so he doesn't say that, he says the other way around. All right, but let's leave that line alone, because I want to point something very interesting from the Shulchan Aruch Harav. You don't have it on your paper from today because I didn't give it out this time. But where was it?
34.
I put Shulchan Aruch Harav there.
Yeah, 34. If that's the one you're talking about.
What am I looking at here? Yes, there it is. It is there. I did give it out. Look at the first line that I underlined. Read it carefully. Avol. If it's so hot that your hand will get burnt from it, umarticho yoser, and he boils it up more, ein bezeh mishum bishul. There's no problem cooking. As long as, again, barring the Yisroel Midrabanan, if you have something which is yatsa ledes bo, says the Shulchan Aruch Harav, you heated it up, to yatz lettuce bowl, you could bring it to a boiling to a boiling point. That's what the Shulchan Aruch Harav says. Keep in mind that the Reb Buzner was not of this opinion. He said he held it was a problem to bring it from boiling to from heat from hot from yatzel lettuce bo to boiling, because ultimately he changed the definition and says that there's a different the difference between heating water and boiling water. Okay, but that was Reb Buzner's opinion. Shulchan Aruch Rav clearly is saying that if you have water which reaches yatzel lettuce bo 110 degrees, there's no problem to boil it. Okay, we understand that makes sense. Now comes Reb Moshe with a beautiful chav for the Ashkenazim. Look at the shaila in 36. Bishel is the topic. Shaila number one. Hayim muter lachamim davar lach shen espashal kedei yatzel lettuce bo v'nitztanin kitzas v'afla arsicha. This is the shaila. Can a person boil water that reached yatzel lettuce bo? It got to 110 degrees, and now it dipped under. It's 109 degrees, 108 degrees. Can I reheat it? Number one. Number two, can I boil it? In other words, this is a step further from the Shulchan Aruch Harav. Shulchan Aruch Harav, he said, if it's Yad So Lettuce Bo, if it's, let's give it a temperature. If it's 115 degrees, says the Shulchan Aruch Harav, I could bring it to 212. No problem. Because once it's halachically cooked, it's halachically cooked. Doesn't make a difference how halachically cooked it is. It's cooked. So if it's 110, I can bring it up to 212. Now the question becomes, let's say it reached 110, but then dipped under 110. Question number one, can I bring it back up to 110? Or we said 113 earlier. Let's use 113. It reached 113, now it's down to 110. Can I bring it back? It reached 113, now it's 109. Can I bring it up to 113 again? Question number one. Question number two, if it's now 109 and 5 minutes ago it was 113, can I bring it to 212? Or what do you say?
It's machlekes.
It would be machlekes, true. But what do you say?
Well, the question is there bishul achar? It was cooked already.
It never reached 212.
No, but it was cooked.
It was cooked. It was halachically cooked, right.
So there was bishul.
Right.
So now,
can I bring it back? Can I heat it back up again?
We should be able to bring it to 113 again.
Why?
Because it was nistanin.
It's not nistanin. So good. So bring it back to 113 again, that's fine, because we hold like the Rama. Most of us here hold like the Rama. And then, since most of us hold like the Rama, it's not nistanin legamri. So if it's not nistanin legamri, we go with the opinion of the Rashba. You let it reheat it. So you can bring it back to 113. Can I bring it to 212? Says Reb Moshe, why not?
Should be able to.
You should. Because
if bringing it to 113 is okay.
Right, bring it to 113 is okay, then why can I bring it up to 212? He goes back and forth in the middle, but he writes, Al Kapanim, Yesh Lismoch Al Zeh, you could rely on this, Yesh Lahatir, you could be Matir, Dover Lachsh, and Espashal Liyad Soledes, Kishen Itzdanin Ktsas. You can take a davar lach, a liquid item, which cooled down a little bit. Shadayin chamu, it's still considered warm. V'roy lecho machmas chamimusu lahamid af makam shi'ar siach. Clearly, it says very clearly, even if it dips below yatzel lettuce bo, if it reached yatzel lettuce bo, it dips below yatzel lettuce bo, but it's not in style in the garment, you can heat it up, you can even boil it. And the cheshbon makes sense to us. Right? Because Once it's cooked, it's considered halachically cooked. Now, what's the halach with something which is cooked? According to the Ashkenazim, you're allowed to reheat it as long as it's not nistan in legamri. Now, the other halacha is that if something is yatzel lettuce bo, I'm allowed to boil it. I'm allowed to bring it to a boil. So put those two together. I'm allowed to reheat it. I'm allowed to bring it to a boiling point. That's what Moshe says. Now, it's important to just look at the Shulchan Aruch Rav again. At the end, what does Nitztanin Lagamri mean? So again, this is going to be objective. Not objective, it'll be subjective. V'nagu lahakal, look at the second line that I underlined, source number 34. V'nagu lahakal imlo Nitztanin Lagamri, Ella, roi adayin lechol machmas chamimusa. He says, we're noyig, he quotes the Rama, we're noyig to be makel, that you'll let her reheat something, a liquid, as long as it did not cool down all the way. Rather, what is it? You could still eat it because of its heat. In other words, what he means to say is, something that you want it to be hot, you would consider this still to be hot. Okay, so this is something which really throws, it makes it very complicated now to understand. How much room is he leaving us? How much room is he leaving us that's still considered hot? Again, 110 degrees, 115 degrees is not so hot. It's really not so hot. So how many degrees under 110 is considered lo nitzdan legamri? In other words, if I want a hot drink, I think getting in the 90s already, it's considered cold. A coffee that's 90 degrees, you've got to heat that up a little bit. So the truth is, the Shulchan Aruch Rav is severely limiting this cooler from the Ramah to saying it has to still be considered warm. All right, so ultimately what we have over here is, it's important just to get these three opinions down. The sheet of Rashi, that you could always cook, that there's always a problem to reheat something a second time. Sheet of Rabbeinu Yerucham, that the only time there's a problem is when there's a significant improvement. And the last opinion of the Rashba that says, no, there's no problem to reheat something a second time. There's not a problem to reheat something a second time. That's the opinion of the Rashba. Mechaber, Sfarim go with the opinion of Rashi. And therefore, anytime something goes under Yatz Letus Bo, if it's a liquid, you can't reheat it. The Ashkenazim are making for the opinion of the Rashba, that you're allowed to reheat something a second time, even if it's a liquid, as long as it's not Nitzan and Legamri.
So you have tea, you're drinking it and smoothing it, and you drink half the tea, and it started cooling down, you could stick it back on the blech or something.
Okay, so putting it on the blech, we have to discuss. We have to discuss those cases. Well, I want to spend time on that, because putting it back on the blech could theoretically be putting it top of the fire. I know, because we didn't learn all the halachas yet. But the answer really would be, you could put it on top of your chalon pot and allow it to get hot. There are cases, maybe even on the plata, on the hot plate. You could put it there and allow it to warm up. But that's generally the halachas. Now, what we have to discuss next week, and I'll hopefully, we ran out of time, but hopefully next week we'll just focus on practical cases of what's going to be. I left out the last part also. The last part is the idea of nikrash, when something congeals. We have to define what's considered dry, what's considered liquid. We know dry is always fine. You could always reheat a dry item. Liquid is what we've been discussing today. The question is, what's considered dry, what's considered a liquid? So next week is just going to be a bunch of practical cases of what's considered dry, what's considered liquid, what's considered, what happens if something changes from a dry into a liquid, and all those cases. We'll get into all those to settle all these complicated cases. All right? And then we'll move on to another topic.